Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, buttermilk sky, I'm a keeping my eye peeled on you. What's a good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm going to pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you, oh, buttermilk sky. I'm a-telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight. Keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. I'm going to pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you, oh, buttermilk sky. I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight. Keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try. Don't tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky.
All right. Good to be here with you. James Bostic, a conservative perspective here on Blog Talk Radio. And that's blogtalkradio.com. You go there and you look up the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and that's where you'll find us live or some reasonable facsimile thereof, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I hope you had a great week. It's nice to be here with you. I line things out, right? I spend a lot of time looking at stuff on the internet, as you know, you guys know, because I've told you this many times. And I find things that resonate with me. Find things that I think I'd like to make a point on, or refine the point, or blunt the point. And so I come up with this plan. And I always have this little orchestrated kind of thing that I'm going to do. And not, well, 7.5 to 8.25 times out of 10, it really doesn't go that way. And tonight's no exception. It is good to be here with you, as it always is. Last week, a week ago, as a matter of fact, on Tuesday, I did a show called Biology 101 because Democrats are dumbasses. And I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to, and I'm going to report back to you on it. And the reason I'm talking about it is because that description, dumbass, it was like Red Foreman had taken over the show. I was channeling Red Foreman. But I used it numerous times. And I want to go back and I'm going to listen to the show because I want to see just exactly how many times I called Democrats a dumbass in 1 hour. And the reason I was calling them dumbasses, and it was without good cause. Number one, they are. Number two, the particular issue we were discussing at that time cast a very, very bright, glaring light on their dumbassedness. And one of the things we were talking about has to do with this whole transgender thing. And but what we didn't really discuss, we talked a lot about terminology. and the evolution of terminology, nomenclature, if you will, concerning this. But we didn't really have much of a discussion as to the authority that permits this. And here's what I'm getting at. We've never really had this discussion, or rarely at any rate. Has there been a discussion under what authority is it, and where does this authority stem from, whereupon a man can compete physically with females? And that was one of the things we talked about last week. You know, it's one of the things Democrats are dumbasses about. Now, Martina Navratilova, if you've never heard of her, in the 70s and 80s, world-class tennis champion. One of the best, male or female, I think, that ever played the game. And she said and was vilified, and she's also gay, like it matters. But she said that transgender women, which is progressive code talk for men, are fundamentally cheating if they compete in women's sports. And, you know, last week we broke down some of the discrepancies in you know, male supremacy when they're in this environment of competing against female athletes. So, you know, whose authority does this come under? Where is the authority? You know, what's the authority where a man can legally use the shower or restroom facilities or dressing rooms heretofore set aside for females? Who says that's cool? Who says that's appropriate? Well, the problem isn't so much that. The problem is that there isn't a law or an authority. We don't worry about that too much. But rather, the problem is the absence of the terms used to describe mental disorders, specifically sexual disorders. Now, for decades, transgenderism and gender identity disorders have been classified as mental disorders by the American Psychiatric Association in that organization's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM. And psychiatric hospital statistics, and from the United States Army Manual on Mental Illness. Revisions since the first publication back in 1952 have incrementally added to the total number of mental disorders and removed those that were no longer considered mental disorders. Back about 6 years ago in 2012, December 2012, the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, quietly, on the down low, announced changes to its manual, its DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. In version 5, which I guess is the one we're operating under now, transvestitism, transgenderism, and gender identity disorders were eliminated. Those terms, transvestitism, transgenderism, gender identity disorders, eliminated, replaced with a new term, a blanket term called gender dysphoria. Dysphoria apparently is the distress that one experiences as a result of the sex and gender he was assigned at birth. So with a stroke of a pen, and nothing else, transvestitism, transgenderism, and gender identity disorder were no longer considered mental disorders. In essence, the American Psychiatric Association announced that these behaviors previously associated with with those three disorders are now considered normal. So based on the DSM-5, if you are a male and you identify as a female, are you sitting down, America? Okay, if you are a male and you identify as a female, this is now considered normal. Yeah. This new normal obviously defies logic and common sense. One of the many unintended consequences of the APA's cowardly actions is that the new DSM is used as the authority for sports competitions, something the APA never envisioned and something that the Disorder Statistical Manual was never designed for, Diagnostic Statistical Manual. Okay, this thing was set up to offer a common language and standard criteria for the classification of mental disorders. It wasn't designed to be misused to give males, and for you Democrats, that's the ones with the penises, the opportunity to capitalize on their athletic advantages over females. The most important aspect of the DSM is that it serves as a universal authority for psychiatric diagnoses. There are a few parts of America or the United Nations that the DSM does not touch or influence. It is used or relied upon by clinicians, researchers, psychiatric drug regulation agencies, health insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, the legal system, and policymakers. Athletic organizations, however, are not listed. In previous versions of the DSM were the behaviors associated with transvestitism, transgenderism, gender identity disorders were considered a mental disorder. Where these behaviors were considered a mental disorder, health insurance companies and hospitals would not authorize so-called sexual reassignment surgery for a mental illness. That corrective surgery was not warranted. Those seeking sexual reassignment had to pay for the surgery to approximate that effect themselves, either a private clinic overseas somewhere. Prior to the fifth version of the manual, the appropriate treatment for gender identity disorders was therapy, psychotherapy. With the new manual, no longer is gender identity disorder considered a mental disorder. So those people with previous identity disorders have argued that they no longer have a mental illness, rather they have a medically correctable condition, just as surgery is needed to correct a birth defect, such as a cleft lip or palate. I know it's weird stuff, man, but we got to look at it. There were many members of the APA who saw that the aggressive lobbying efforts of the LGBTQ, oh my God, and other sexual activists would result in a substantial body of APA member psychiatrists kowtowing to the activist mess. Bear in mind when we're talking about these people in the LGBTQ mafia and all these other types, in the United States, they represent less than 3% of the population, if that. In one of the most artful displays of a mental illness, Dr. Dana Bayer wrote of their successful lobbying of the APA in The End of Transgender as a Mental Illness. And here's what she said. Our greatest accomplishment on the working group was reconceptualizing the state of being trans from a mental illness to a normal human variant. What in the hell is a normal human variant? Normal human variants don't pretend to be girls and then race or wrestle real girls. Variants need therapy, not lessons on how to cheat in sports. Dr. Paul McHugh, former psychiatrist in chief for Johns Hopkins, reiterated that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment, that sex change is biologically impossible, and that people who promote sexual reassignment surgery are collaborating with and promoting a mental disorder. Sex change is biologically impossible, said Dr. McHugh. People who undergo sex reassignment surgery don't change from men to women or vice versa. Rather, they become feminized men or masculinized women. Now, claiming that this is a civil rights matter and encouraging surgical intervention is in reality to collaborate with and promote mental disorder. Feminized men, whatever they've done to themselves surgically or medically, can dress up in sports bras and running shoes and play make-believe female athletes, but they're still guys competing against girls. They are cheating. Now, again, this is weird. And here's what, and here's the next step, people. This is not the end of it. This is just a step. Here's the next step. If you thought that you have problems with boys in your daughter's locker room or men winning women track events, wait until the LGBTQers are able to remove the next personality disorder, the next psychiatric mental disease that they find offensive. Do you know what that is? Come on, you know what that is. If it's okay for guys to go pee in the ladies' room, what's next? Pedophilia. Without their parents knowing it, transgenders and transvestites in drag are reading to kids across the country in schools and libraries. It's one thing for drag queens or transsexuals to lobby for equality via marches or even legislation. It's quite another to show up at a taxpayer-funded facility, public library or school, and showcase a very abnormal lifestyle as healthy, common, and educational. Kids coming from these events suddenly tell their folks they identify as another sex. Where do you think they get that from? Do you know what this is called? This is called recruitment. Homosexuals cannot reproduce. Therefore, they must recruit. This is a sickness. Shortly after 9/11, the federal government federalized airport security when it learned that it had been fully compromised by a hostile and aggressive force whose sole purpose was to destroy American culture. The American Psychiatric Association has been fully compromised by a rabid group of sexual activists. And the DSM needs to be federalized and managed as a national standard. And a national diagnostic and statistical manual should not be subject to social justice warriors and to party politics influence. And that's all this is. What's the authority? The authority is the agenda of the progressive left. That's what the authority is. Dumbasses. And in the blurb, you know, we talked about corruption and collusion and witch hunts. And we've been seeing this go on for a while with the Democrats. And something's happening within the confines of the Democrat Party. Not exactly sure what it is. But soon. And you know, we've been talking about this, and when I say soon, I mean over the next period of months, over the next period of a year or so, leading into the 2020 election. Some other guy, some idiot governor has decided, now there are 11 people on the Democrat side running for governor, running for president. I think the Republicans started out at 16 when Donald Trump I think that at one time there were at least 16 people with their hats in the ring on the Republican side for that race. Well, as it is now, there are 10, possibly 11, and there are going to be more. There are exploratory committees being set up, and people are out there. Hey, you know what? Here in West Virginia, there's a crazy dude. His name's Richard Ojeda. And he ran for West Virginia State Senate. Distinguished military career, but he was a little crazy. And his political aspirations didn't work. And he had just come off. he was running for West Virginia State Senate and had an exploratory committee running for the presidency. Okay, if you're a Democrat and you want to run for president, by God, you can do it. They don't. And really, in a way, that's how it ought to be. Oh, and I'm going to tell you this too, man. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but listenership has picked up considerably over the last couple of weeks. I don't want to get into numbers. I don't want to brag, but we're doing a lot better. And one of the reasons, I'm sure, is because you guys are sharing it. And I just want to say thank you. Keep up the good work. I really appreciate that tremendously. ACP is growing. I don't know if it's going to be a breakout year. We've been hammering along for a long time and happy to do that. But I've noticed this uptick, this trend in listenership increasing, and I just want to take a moment to say thank you. I'm grateful. But we've got some new people in Washington, in the House of Representatives. We've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We have Ilhan Omar. She's a piece of work. Muslim fundamentalist, married her brother to get into the country, and then these idiots in her district elect her to Congress. God. So, and Rashida Tlaib, another longtime anti-Semite. It has been suggested to me on more than one occasion that perhaps I should take interest in running for public office. Well, that's not going to happen. My past would preclude me from that. See, these guys don't care if you start working on a criminal record once you get elected. But if you got one before you get in there, they kind of look at that as a little bit of an unfair advantage. So, yeah, it wouldn't work for me anyway. That's not what I want to do. But corruption is a going thing amongst Democrats, and it's not something that Republicans are immune to. But we're talking about the Democrats. And when we come up against corrupt Republicans, we expose them, Mitch McConnell. And the press lately here has made a really big deal about this new class of Democrats, some of these girls we just talked about, rolling into Congress, touting their diversity, their socialism, their sisterhood. And most of us look at that group and we just see extremism, especially with the kind of views they present and the obnoxious gaffes that they've blundered into and apologize for or not. They're new, after all. But there is something about this batch of Democrats, and it's not surprising, it was bound to happen, that we haven't seen much of in days past. The corruption accusations and the investigations surrounding virtually all of them. Most of these accusations are pretty solid looking. Here's a short list, starting with the Daily Mail, which is a report through Gateway Pundit. Where's the $850 million gone? Bill de Blasio, Democrat mayor of New York. His wife cannot account for a staggering amount of taxpayer money that the New York mayor gave her for a mental health project. De Blasio's wife, Shirlane McRae, cannot explain where $850 million given to the mental health program she champions has gone. Here's another from Fox News. Rashida Tlaib's campaign paid her $17,000 in salary after Election Day, possible violation of the FEC rules. After receiving Minnesota Campaign Finance Board's notification that it is conducting a formal investigation into State Representative Ilhan Omar's campaign committee, Representative Steve Drazkowski is now filing a new complaint. He recently discovered Omar used campaign resources for personal travel expenses. Yet another corruption front for Omar has been the allegations she married her brother in a bid to get him into the country, effectively engaging in immigration marriage fraud. Meanwhile, Fox News has an item on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez engaging in corruption in her own way with this one. A Republican group filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission on Wednesday alleging that Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's campaign may have illegally funneled thousands of dollars through an allied political action committee to her boyfriend, Riley Roberts. Hold on a minute. I got to sneeze. Looks like I picked the wrong day to quit doing cocaine. It's not just the socialist newcomers that are up to their ears in corruption allegations. Even some more senior office holders with presidential ambitions have a lot of ethics complaints piling up against them. A watchdog group filed a Senate ethics complaint Monday against Senators Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren for sending out fundraising emails asking for donations to support their votes against Justice Brett Kavanaugh even before they cast their votes. So what's that? Lost taxpayer money, campaign finance violations, a bunch of them, pocket lining, illegal money diversions, expense manipulations, marriage fraud. They have been in office as little as 2 or 3 months, and we're seeing this already. Most of these things are the kind of crimes you see in old line machine politicians, the kind that is separated in office too long and whose final game is to get rich before making the grand getaway. Republicans, Democrats both do it. And it usually happens after they've been around for a while. Well, now we're seeing this new socialist class, this anti-Semitic class, getting started right away. All of them viewing government as the right way to get rich. It's always been noteworthy how the socialist societies these people champion abroad have always found ways to form nomenclatures of designated ruling class members with vast access to wealth and special privileges, courtesy of the state. You see it in socialist rule worldwide. You can see it right now in the billions amassed by the Castro and the Chavez families in Cuba and Venezuela. It's also evident in the fortunes of the Chinese princelings in the communist ruling class and in the oligarchs of post-Soviet Russia. Most of them kind of particular mafia-like fortunes. So now we have this current crop of self-declared socialists jumping right in. One thing you can say about these corruption allegations among the Democrats who seek to rule us is that the corruption starts early. We're seeing it form now. And it's up to us, it's up to the voters to nip this garbage in the bud, and Republicans challenging them now can bring it up as a feature, not a bug, of socialism. Okay, looks like we're down to the bottom of the hour, and I need to take a break. So let me just scroll aimlessly down through here and pick something out to listen to, and we will be back with more of a conservative's perspective right after this.
jumping honky tonk blues. Well, Lord, I got them. I got the honky tonk blues. In and out of every joint in this town, the city life has really got me down. I got the honky tonk blues. Honky tonk.
Well, when I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. But there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me.
Former, because you never retire from that business, as a former honky-tonk singer, this was the kind of stuff that I used to sing back in the old-timey days. With a story for another time. Welcome back. A Conservative's Perspective here on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to blogtalkradio.com and look up Patriot Nation Radio Net, or you can just go to the link that we generously provide here and there. throughout the galactic internet. And when we left off, oh, and we do this live two times a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. We have a recorded version that I am particularly proud of that goes out over the Talk America Radio Network, talkamericaradio.us. I know I've been saying org for like 3.5 years, and it was talkamericaradio.us. You go there, and they have two audio streams, the Liberty and the Justice streams, and ACP can be heard on either one of those various times throughout the day of the week, along with a great lineup of outstanding talk radio hosts and podcasts. This thing with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this is a big deal. The other ones are kind of small potatoes. Rashida Tlaib and that other anti-Semite Muslim, Brother Marion. My God, man. And these people got elected to Congress, you guys. Maybe I am in the wrong racket. I don't know. But anyway, this thing with Alexandria Cortez is could be pretty hairy. Political action groups and donations, you know, there's a limit to what you can do. Federal campaign finance law will let you donate more than the $2,500 limit for contributions to actual campaigns. So if you wanted to give money to Old Girl, and apparently a lot of cats do, if you wanted to give money directly to Alexandria Ocasio's campaign, then the limit is $2,500. That's it. But if you want to donate more, I mean, if you really like AOC, what you can do is you can donate to political action committees. Now, political action committees are like the band boosters or the touchdown club. You know what I mean? They're in support. They're in support. However, and this is the thing, the political action committees cannot be controlled by the political candidate or the political campaign. They can't be involved in it. It can be some of their pals. You know, it's like a fan club. It can be people that support them and want to see them elected to a specific district for whatever the reason. And you donate to the PACs. But again, like I said, the political candidate or the political campaign can't be involved with the political action committee. They have to be separate entities. And there is very strong evidence that Ocasio-Cortez and her Svengali puppet master campaign financer, who's now her chief of staff, this guy named Saiket Chakrabarty. So this cat Bart, in conjunction with Alexandria Cortez, they obtained, these two people, obtained majority control of a political action committee called Justice Democrats. And they did this back in December 2017, according to the archived copies of the group's website. And these two people, Kat Barty and Alex Ocasio-Cortez, maintained control to this day. And this is according to separate corporate filings that were obtained by the Daily Caller. Now, if the Federal Election Commission finds that the New York Democrats campaign operated in affiliation with a political action committee, which had raised almost $2 million, $1.8 mil, before her June 28 primary, it's going to open them up to massive reporting violations, probably at least some illegal contribution violations. Nobody's going to go to jail, but, you know, they hang that out there. Now, to muddy this up even further and make it look even worse for Alex and Cap Barty, they never disclosed. They never told the Federal Elections Committee that they controlled this political action committee while it was simultaneously supporting her campaign. Now, this particular group, Justice Democrats, they supported and they backed 12 Democrats total during the 2018 midterms, but Ocasio-Cortez was the only one of those to win the general. Now, this lack of disclosure, this lack of official disclosure, is important in light of this admission. Political committees are affiliated, and that's, you can't be affiliated, you can't be a candidate, run a campaign, and be affiliated with a political action committee. Well, what defines affiliated? Political committees are affiliated if they are established, financed, maintained, or controlled by the same person or group of persons. Justice Democrats' Political Action Committee has a board consisting of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Saikat Chakrabarty that has legal control over the entity. The executive director of Justice Democrats is Saikat Chakrabarty. None of these people take any compensation from Justice Democrats, but dude is the same guy that's running Ocasio's campaign. This particular admission, according to a former commission member, elections commission member, the admission makes it open and shut. If someone wants to file a complaint with the FEC, I don't see how the commission could not investigate that. We've even got our own statement on their website that they control. We've even got their own statement on their website that they control the organization. I don't see how you could avoid an investigation on that. And if the FEC concludes that the campaign and the Justice Democrats were operating as affiliated committees, and how the hell can they? It's the same people, y'all. Jesus wept. So in that case, anybody that contributed over the total to her campaign would have made an excessive contribution, and that's a campaign finance violation. And 100 pennies make a dollar. So what they're saying, because that's how these political action committees work, all these guys are donating more, most of them are donating more than the requisite 2,500 limit that you can spend on a campaign. This $5,000, $10,000, maybe not much more, but you get a lot of those guys. Like I said, it adds up. Here's what I mean. Ocasio-Cortez's campaign and Justice Democrats combined raised over $4.5 million during the midterm election cycle. Now, there is a maximum 5-year prison sentence for anyone who knowingly and willfully receives a collective $25,000 or more in excessive campaign contributions in a single calendar year. $4.6 million. Now, prison. We talked about that. Blah, 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 yaggity, schmaggity. Prison? Nah, I'm not going to go to prison. That's exceedingly rare. But when you take a look at all the effort and the money spent to fabricate a criminal campaign finance violation against Donald Trump through payments to Stephanie Clifford and Stormy Daniels, I bet they're on the table now. And incidentally, all these people, all these Democrats, you see these memes on Facebook, you Democrat dumbasses. they'll do anything to try and justify, okay, what they're doing to Trump. The Trump's, you know, an evil man, and you know, this is the great existential threat. It is an existential threat, I think, to the Democrat Party and to the progressive Marxists. That's why they recoil in fear and loathing at Donald Trump and what he's doing to restore America. But I digress. You know, Bill Clinton paid out a boatload of money to make Paula Jones go away. Don't you say that. Yeah. Doesn't matter. And it doesn't really, and I mean, and that's just tit for tat. It doesn't matter in Bill Clinton's case either. We're electing a leader. We're not electing a Boy Scout. And, you know, the chief executive of the United States better be realistic enough to take the world and deal with it as it is, not as we wish it to be. And this is just the realism. This is just the reality of this kind of politics. Is it rare? Yeah, it's rare. But, you know. Ah, I don't even want to get into it anymore. Oh, gosh. You know, there is a cancer, really, loose on this country. An ethical cancer, a spiritual cancer. A cancer in our humanity. And there are a lot of different symptoms for it. We've talked about them a lot on this show. And I point these things out. Yes, I point these things out on the left. And, you know, one of the reasons that these things, and they happen on the right. People are people. They're failed. They're flawed. They screw up. They fall prey to things. But there's no guiding light. I don't know what else to call it. There's no standard. On the Democrat side, there's no standard to which the wise and the moral can repair. And there's not too many wise or moral people over there. We see it all the time. It's just the reality of the situation. But here's the thing. And here's the magic of this whole deal. And that's why I tell you guys, I haven't said it in a while, but I'm going to go ahead and preach it. I know sometimes it can be dry and, you know, your eyes glaze over and it's a lot of hard work. But there are a lot of resources out there to make it easily understandable. And that's this. Get a copy of the Constitution and read it. Don't worry about understanding all of it, because it is tough to understand at first. But the magic of the Constitution is, once you understand it, you see very clearly it means what it says. Second Amendment means exactly what it says. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. Now, we know they get infringed upon all the time. But they shall not be. This is, and it doesn't mean anything other than that. And when enough people read the Constitution, understand the Constitution, as citizens should, well, that would make us a mighty force against this cancer the nation faces. Christians and Jews are under attack every single day in this country. Conservatives and constitutionalists likewise. And there's going to be a time when there's a pushback that occurs. It's going to be bad. It's going to be tough. You can go to the Heritage Foundation. Heritage.com or heritage.org. Let's see what we got here. Heritage.org, I think. They give them out for free. And if you feel like giving them a little bit of money, you know, they're good with that too. And it's appreciated. There are some remarkably intelligent and very keen observers and students of the Constitution at the Heritage Foundation. Also, Hillman College, you can go there too. Hillsdale College.com.org. They have free classes on the Constitution, and they break it up, and it's great stuff. Because, again, I had a conversation the other day, and based on this conversation, these are not stupid people. These are educated people I'm talking about. Because every now and then I fake them out and I move amongst them. They think I'm one of them, but I'm really not. I'm just a stooge. But anyway, I'm a stooge that knows the Constitution. And some of these people that I heard discussing matters of the body politic don't know it. They don't have the first clue. And it was one of those situations where I kind of had to leave the room, because if I didn't, I was going to hurt somebody's feelings. And I'm just not the kind of guy to do that. So anyway, I split. But learn the Constitution. Read the Declaration. It doesn't take 10 minutes to read the Declaration. I play it here on the 4th of July. I have a dramatic reading with some inspiring patriotic music in the background that I like to whip out. But if we all know the Constitution, thank you, Penelope. If we all know the Constitution, we would be unstoppable. And it is every citizen's responsibility to know it. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m., right here, Blog Talk Radio. Patriot Nation Radio is where you want to go for that. 7 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays. The live incarnation of the recorded incarnation of the program, talkamericaradio.us. The Liberty and Justice streams there. We have a couple of Facebook presences. We have Talk America West Virginia, Talk America Texas, ACP's podcast page, the archive page, and a resurrected opinion page, Conservatives Perspective. Breathe a new life into that. Thank you all. Oh, Cowboy Logic Restoring America Forum. I'm an admin there with our friends Don Ewan and the prototype Fox News babe Donna Fiducia. You guys take good care of yourselves. We'll be back here on Thursdays taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. God bless you. God bless America.